But this is the holy God standing in front of these men and women, breathing into them the very life of God, renewing their spirits. Our spirits were dead. We weren't connected with God, with the life of God. We had to go to a temple and have sacrifices made. But in this very moment, in this upper room, the first example of the born-again experience is demonstrated to us. That's why this is such an important Sunday. We're a charismatic, evangelical, liturgical church. It's all working together, all in one. In a couple of weeks, a few weeks, 7, 8 weeks, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit, the power of God coming on us. But this experience is the life of God coming into us, transforming our spirits, causing our spirits to connect again with God. That's why he can say peace. That's the only reason. Now there's peace with God. There's peace. No more fear. There's of retribution from God. I've paid the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus is telling him. And he breathes into them and gives them life and recreates their spirit, the born-again experience of God. This peace that God gives us in Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Don't be anxious, but by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, make your request to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." Isn't that good news? This peace that we have between God and man comes through the breath of God. We sang today, "Oh, breath of God, renew us today." And sometimes when we are away from the Lord, we just need his breath to renew us and restore us. Now, when we're his children, we're his children forever and ever. I'm sorry. I know some of you would disagree with me about that. But I'm just telling you, when you're a child of the King, when you've been born again and the breath of God has come in you, and you're my child, you're his child, you're always his child. I don't know one mother here that would ever disown their child and say, "You're not my child." There's just about nothing we could do. There's nothing we could do as children to offend our parents so much that they would hate us. Now, they might be disappointed, but they're not going to hate us and cut us off forever. There's still a love for our children. The peace of God that passes all understanding is only available to us because of the forgiveness of God. This is unmerited favor. Jesus is saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he adds this caveat, and he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. But if you retain the sins of any, they're retained. And I'll tell you, I'm going to make a confession today that the church, in my opinion, now this is just my opinion, has used this as a whipping tool over the people of God. They've used the keys of the kingdom. I'll tell you why. Because I can't find anywhere, not one place, where Jesus withheld forgiveness. Never. Now, he didn't like what the church leaders were doing. He didn't like the Pharisees, and he didn't like the Sadducees, and he told them about it. But when he was on the cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them," that's who he was talking to. They're the ones that put him there. They're the ones that were standing there mocking him. Hello? Amen? He was right. I'm telling you, when we think about this peace that we have, we don't enter it enough. We don't live in the peace of God because we forget about his breath being in us, restoring our spirits, creating this aliveness to him. Forgiveness always, always entails suffering. If you owned a lamp and it was a $100 lamp, let's say you owned a Tiffany lamp and it's $20,000, and somebody comes into your house and they break that lamp. It's the lamp that lights your room. They break your beautiful lamp. Restoration has to be made. Either that person's going to pay for it, or you're going to pay to have another lamp brought in, right? So you can see in the darkness. Somebody's got to pay. It's the same way with us. This is the fascinating part about Jesus. There's a debt that we've created because of our sin. And somebody's got to pay the debt. It's a legal requirement. Somebody's got to pay. And so what happens is, let's say that somebody's taken an opportunity from you. Let's say somebody's offended you. Let's say somebody's held you back at work. They've not promoted you. People haven't been fair to you. Maybe your spouse has left you. Maybe your friends have left you. Whatever it is, they need to pay. There's a debt created in your mind, in all of our minds. And typically, we want to respond with retribution. We want to respond and make the other person suffer the way we're suffering. We want to make people pay for their actions. It's part of the problem with the social justice idea. We'll never have a complete social justice because somebody's always going to be offended. It's the retribution. There's never total justice except between us and God. But in man's eyes, we become harder and colder and calloused and vengeful when we don't let go of people when they offend us.
Amen. Right?
When we hold someone in contempt, we become evil. Evil wins. We become just like them, just like the offender. There's no debt that's been paid. There's still a debt. Now it's on us. Only if we refrain from vengeance and pay the cost of forgiveness. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus told his disciples, "I must suffer. The Son of Man must suffer." Forgiveness always requires suffering because it's not easy to forgive people when they offend you. It's not easy. It requires suffering. We have to work through that vengeance that we want to create. The people that have offended you at work, the people that have hurt your feelings, the people that have left you and walked out on you, we want to hold them. But Jesus tells us we have to let them go and forgive them. Why? Because he's let us go. The peace of God is with us. He said, "I'm sending you. I've come and I'm sending you. I'm going to send you out. And what you've seen me do, I want you to do." That's exactly what he's saying in John. He says, "I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Well, the Father, you have to ask the question, what did the Father send Jesus to do? It's very simple. He sent Jesus to forgive our sins. God so loved the world, John tells us, that he sent his only Son to die on a cross, to pay our debt, that whoever believes in him might have life and might have it abundantly. Jesus has paid that sin. He doesn't want anyone, no one, to fall short. But he wants us to repent and come to him. The forgiveness of God, the breath of God, the peace of God. Jesus paid it all. And so we can have peace with God. And our job now is to go into the world and announce that there is peace now, that there is forgiveness. That's our job, to go tell people that they are forgiven. Most people are anxious and guilt-ridden. Most people are, that we encounter. Their guilt, they have some guilt down deep. They don't know what it is. They're trying to self-actualize. But in reality, they're just holding on to their sin and not letting it go. But Jesus comes and says, peace. Remember, the disciples had left him. They had abandoned Jesus. These guys hadn't done anything good. They had done no good thing for Jesus. They had abandoned him, run. And yet, he comes in and says peace and breathes into them the Holy Spirit and creates life. Just like in Genesis, physical life, but now God stands in their midst and breathes into them eternal life. That's good news. That's the good news of God today for us. Well, that's what I have for you today. I just want you to know that today is Born Again Sunday. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you should do it right now. Say, Father, I've fallen short. I need you. I need you to come into my heart and forgive my sins. That's all we got to ask people to do. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will come in. God breathes into you, and you are born again. Isn't that an amazing story? It's just an amazing story. Your guilt, your sin, it's taken away forever. Just that easy. We're an evangelical church, and so today is the day we talk about, we really have to emphasize the idea that we are born again, born of the Spirit of God. It's the good news of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel unto salvation. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.